now read verse 17 with me. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Look how many times you use the word world, world, world. And He's talking about the human population. He did come to condemn the world system. He did come to condemn the godless culture. But He did not come to condemn the world population. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's the one use. There's numerous, but we don't have time to run them all. But we also have this use of the word world. The world at this time, or how many use it? The world as we know it. That kind of a way of using that word. Look at Matthew 28. There's a godless rock band that put out a song at it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. I thought, that really is a good song. From a Christian perspective, I mean, that's where we, but you ought to be like that. I think we're coming to the end of the world. But not the end of the planet. See, that's not the way the word's used here. Look at, again, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Read verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And most of the teachers you'll hear on the, and Jenny and I heard J. Vernon McGee do it today on the broadcast for today. And say, oh, it should be age. And that's false. It shouldn't be age. It's world. But world has more than one meaning. And you always hear these people say, this is not talking about the cosmos. It's talking about age. The world is always used differently. And no, it's not talking about the cosmos. Why would I? Why does that mean I changed the word in my Bible? I just need to understand which of the 22 different definitions is being used here. And it's the end of the world as we know it. Why? Because the rapture happens, all hell breaks loose, about three-quarters of the world population perishes, Jesus returns, and there's a whole new world system set up. The King Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years. It's the end of the world as we know it. Now, some, as I said, fall over all over themselves to correct the Bible to read age instead of world. But the word age has various meanings as well. Yes, there's one of them right there. So changing the text doesn't change things. If you put the word age in there, like they all say to do, you still got to figure out what use of the word age is being used. Or could be how old a thing is, like your age, as Jenny just said, on your birthday. Ladies, I never ask, but you're all getting older. And your next birthday will tell your age, right? Then there is the second use that I'll refer to allow a thing to get older, like wine or cheese. I love aged cheese. And man, I don't go for the really bad, crazy bad. What's that? That stuff that? No, the really bad Limburger. Yeah, there's some things that go to smell too much like a dead body for me to eat it. But there are some aged cheeses, and I'm just like, wow, where have you been all my life? You know, it really is. You ever try some of that? If you like cheese, if you're not a big cheese fan, then stay away from it. But anyway, a third use. As in coming of age, to drive, or to be drafted, or to buy booze. All the kids I grew up with were like, I can't wait to be 21. I'm going to go in there and buy me a beer. And I went and got saved before I turned 21, so I didn't go to the bars when I turned 21 because I didn't want to be in those kind of places. But anyway, that's an example of coming of age. Fourth, as in periods of history. There's Stone Age, Bronze Age, etc. So, of course, the new versions made this change. They didn't do it because it was a better translation. They did it because they have to make a certain number of changes in order to get a copyright. So that then if you make copies of their Bible and give them away for free, they can sue you. That's what new versions do. You can take your King James Bible, make as many copies as you want, give them away, sell them. You can even mark the price up and try to get more money than they're worth. Doesn't matter. Not copyrighted. Your new versions, you can be sued. The NIV, though, made the change. It says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And the ESV does the same thing. "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Just changing so they can get copyright. Well, which meaning of age in those new versions are we to believe? We have 10 different definitions for age. So whenever somebody says, "Oh, it shouldn't be world there, it's not talking about the cosmos." You're like, okay, that's just one. What about the other 20 definitions for world? "Well, it ought to be age." Which one of the 10 is it meaning there? That didn't help you at all. It's the context that matters. And so we will stick with the King James and turn to the third main use of the word, which is back in our text, James 4:4. Now, there are other uses of the word world in the Bible, but for the sake of time, I limited it. So, now understanding the text, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world," meaning the world system, the godless culture, "is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Have you ever really thought about that verse? Let that sink in, what that's saying. I mean, there are some Christians, all of us have that battle, you know. All of us have to make our own decision about, you know, how far do we go with this? You know, how much worldliness, because let's face it, I mean, you can't really go outside and just breathe without having some connection with this world. And, you know, are the Amish right? And Brian and I were talking about that earlier. I don't believe the Amish are right. I don't think that using electricity is a sin, or having an automobile is. I don't believe it's a sin. Praise the Lord for air conditioning, yeah. You know, and refrigerators. You know, can you imagine that trying to keep your food cold and all the way they do? I mean, they do. They manage it. From what I understand, they don't even, this is going to sound mean, but this is how far people go with this, in the wrong direction. You know, I got on a Greyhound bus years ago, going to Cincinnati, I think it was, and on the way up and back, on the way back, there was Amish people heading up to Amish country up here, and the smell was horrendous. I was choking from it. And when we got off somewhere to let somebody off, and they said, "All right, 5-minute break." So everybody got off and got something to drink, went to the restroom or whatever. And I was talking to another guy. I said, "Man, I got to move to another part of the bus." I said, "Somebody back there just reeks." And he said, "It's those Amish people." I said, "Why?" He says, "They don't wear deodorant." They don't wear deodorant? They don't. I found out they don't wear deodorant. So stinking terrible. The whole bus stunk up. There's nothing wrong with wearing deodorant. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if the world comes up with an invention that, you know, you can use without it violating Scripture, then there's nothing wrong with it. So how far do you go with it? There have been some people over the years who refuse to. There are groups, I know some of us know some people personally who won't get a Social Security number. You know people like that? They won't get a Social Security number because they think it's somehow linked to the mark of the beast. I imagine they're not going to get the COVID shot. They're different. People have these different convictions, and that's between them and the Lord. And they're, in some cases, in some countries, you suffer for it. What are they called? The Hussites. We were watching a documentary about the Hussites. Very interesting, very similar to the Amish. But they came over to America because in Russia, they were being forced to do things like, you know, get a social security number. I don't know what they call it over there, but things like that. And their kids, they wanted them in their public schools, like liberals, you know, who want to put all our kids in the state schools so they can brainwash them. So the Hutterites packed up, moved over here, and they're now up in like North and South Dakota and South Canada. And just interesting story. People making these decisions not to be a part of the world system. We all have to make those decisions. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, another passage we'll take a look at closer next week. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. And again, you better understand what the word world means here, because Jesus, well, the Bible says God so loved the world. And then we're told in the first four words, love not the world. And you say, that's a contradiction in the Bible. No, it's English. The word world means something different here than it does in John 3. And it's written by the same author. Humanly speaking and divinely speaking. You know, both were the same. So read verse 15 with me. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And again, it's obvious in the context that it's talking about this world system, the godless culture. Read 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And there, so we're given the rules there. How do you know when it comes to the world system and this culture, how do you know where not to cross? You have to be honest with yourself and with God and not get involved in anything that includes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There goes Pride Month. There goes the Pride Parade. Just think about that. You see Channel 4, especially here locally in Columbus, openly declaring themselves to be the source for all information regarding Pride Month. And Channel 4 is blatantly spitting in God's face. God hates pride. God says if you're involved in that, the love of the Father is not in you. You've got a heart problem. And then he tells you your future in verse 17. Read that. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You got to make your choice. Where are you going to stand? And the difficulty isn't understanding, by the way. The difficulty is obedience. I mean, there's a lot of Christians who just never read these verses. There's very few Christians when they say, what's your life verse? Very few that quote 1 John 2, 15 to 17 or James 4, 4. It's not a very happy text. But Romans 12, 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world. And that is the world system, the godless culture. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I've had people for 30 years, every so often, people come to me with questions about what we're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about it more in our next study because it's not something I want to try to squeeze in because we've run out of time now. Something though I want to leave you with to pray about, think about, and we'll come back and talk about it more next week. But if you come to me and ask me, there's this thing, there's this going on, I've been asked to do this or invited to this place or whatever, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, go to the Holy Spirit. And you only go to Him. It's not by chanting and, you know, doing, you know, having, you know, burn some incense and dance. And that's not the Holy Spirit is in you if you're a believer. And this is His Word right here. If you've got a King James Bible in English on your lap, that's His Word. So what you do is you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you do that? The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then you may know, or it says prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I need to know God's will. Will you pray for me? Yes. But I want you to know, I'm praying that you'll get your nose in His book. Amen. And yet you will, with prayer, seek His will from His Word. And then, if you see something, God makes it clear what you ought to do. And then you decide you're not going to do it. Therein is the trouble. But if you see what God has for you, wants you to do, and you do it, God will bless it. So, in summary, the context is the world system or culture in James 4:4, and we'll hash this out in our next study.